Hey there, White Sox fans. Hey, guess what? We're smiling in this podcast. This is like been a couple of years since that's happened. Nah, it hasn't been that long, but it's number 103. I think it's number 103. Could it be a post-game podcast? I don't know. I don't know how we'll slot it, but this is what it is. It's the White Sox sweep in the Bronx. Shut some Yankee fans up, I guess. They never shut up, do they? We'll have a lot to talk about. Yankees fans, Tim Anderson, Josh Donaldson. A sweep. But the good news is White Sox, during a very hot period for the New York Yankees, although I guess they lost some undisclosed number of games against the Orioles in between series, went 3-5 against the Yankees at a time when the Yankees have been playing about as good as they're going to play all year. Sorry, Yankees fans. So actually salvaging something from what looked like a really lost series. And 5-3 on a road trip did not seem like it was going to necessarily turn out so good. This could be the turn the White Sox are looking for, to kick themselves somehow a few games above 500 back into first place. And who knows what can happen from there. Hey, what a fantastic road trip it turned out to be. I have a number of Southside Sox writers with me to celebrate for a change, to celebrate on a podcast, including Crystal O'Keefe and Joe Reeses from the Indianapolis field office, Zach Hayes. And hey, man, now he's here. He's never going away. And I love it. It's Sam Sherman, whose tweets, among many whose tweets I enjoyed all weekend long. Welcome, everybody. A late edition now. If you're watching, watch your Zoom in to make this a true six pack of podcast coverage. It's a recapper. Somehow she's doing both. She's doing everything at once. It's good vibes. Jackie Crystal, she is jumping in right now. But, hey, listen, let's just once again sort of associate voices with names. I guess this is an easy one to do, and we often do this, sort of a vibe check at the top of the podcast. Crystal, we will start with you. Crystal, how are you feeling? It's been a roller coaster of emotions. You've been with me on a ton of these podcasts this year, and there's been a lot of dour pain, anguish. And in fact, I believe you just abandoned the White Sox from the Mets. Maybe you're back. How are you feeling?
I'm not mad. Anytime you can beat those fucking Yankees, I'm happy. I've hated them my entire life. So I'm pumped. Maybe they're back briefly. And Michael Kopech got a win.
Yeah, to just jump in before we keep going around, you know, it's of late, maybe this entire century, it's been a little bit easier to forget how just hateable the Yankees are. And man, oh man, in one series, they really, really reminded me as a fan, wow, they really are tops on the list to just hate and detest. But we'll get to more of that. Zach Hayes, vibe check.
Man, just deeply, profoundly, extraordinarily thankful that Tim Anderson is on our team, because the vibes would not be good if it wasn't for that man, let's say.
Stick talk, baby. Stick talk. Sam Sherman with us again. I'm loving it. Podcaster, writer, humorous, tweeter, whatever, anonymous tweeter. Hey, where are you at with things? I know you've been low too. So how you feeling?
Yeah, I mean, very simply, yeah, I mean, it's great to have TA. A lot of things to like in this series, both on and off the field, but well, in terms of how the team handled certain situations, I'm sure we'll talk about. But in any case, you know, the bottom line is, if strictly talking about the baseball team on the field and what they did, I mean, they won a series against a team that's really good. And when we talked last time, one of the things that we all had hesitations about is their ability to do that. And they did it. They did it in New York, and it was great to see.
They punched them right in the mouth, and you got to love that. Joe Reeses, sunnier than most. I suppose the sun is shining even a little bit more on you right now. How are you feeling?
Very good. Yeah. And Sunday was probably day of the year. I don't know if game two would be game of the year. It's certainly a contender right now, but so far through 41 games, about at the quarter mark of the season. May 22nd absolutely goes in the books so far as my favorite day of the year and of the season. And yeah, it was, yeah. And on the national spotlight as well. I mean, it all came together today. And Yeah, just the way that game two happened with TA having that big home run, it's hard to not have positive vibes after an event like that.
Admittedly, a low bar for game of the year. But yes, indeed, 41 games in. Game of the year, certainly day of the year, sweep in at any time. Good vibes, taking a pause from the recap. I mean, you don't want to talk about multitasking. Jackie Crestel, how vibe check, where's it at?
Let's fucking go, man. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah, to touch on what others said, just the fact that we went into New York and beat a good team. Are the White Sox back? Were they ever here? But, you know, are they back? And, you know, going into the next little bit of our schedule, it's really nice to have that little boost of confidence. And so I'm pumped, but also relieved, because this could have so easily gone the other way. We've seen it happen in so many different ways. So I'm relieved and happy. Let's go.
Second half of this podcast, I should say the end of this podcast, second half will touch on more of these good vibes and more of the good feeling from winning a series and sweeping a doubleheader at the Yankees at a time the White Sox really needed. They've needed it all year, and they certainly needed it tonight, and this could really be something that kicks them off. We'll address that a little bit more in the second half. Let's address the issue. It's a touch late, but it's something that's still dragged into today's games. The Tim Anderson situation where the heel of Major League Baseball at this point, Josh Donaldson, derisively calling him Jackie. Tim Anderson, to some degree, politely or otherwise, probably somewhat shyly and quietly, wanting him to stop and him not stopping. And Yasmani Grandal telling Josh Donaldson to stop. And, of course, everything that blew up post-game Saturday. And Josh Donaldson basically standing his ground and saying, yeah, I've done it before. And everything but saying he'll do it again. The question, aside from just takes on it, I suppose, from any of you, the question I have is, it seems like those of us on the right side of this issue, I would consider all six of us on the right side and most readers of Southside Sox, if not a vast, vast majority of them on the right side of this issue, it seems like we take steps forward each time this nonsense comes up, this ugliness, these painful episodes come up. It does feel like we make progress, though not fast enough. Is that something you share? Do you feel like there's education made? I know there's a certain segment of fans that will not be educated and they will double down, including the balance of that. What was it? 10,000 people at Yankee Stadium tonight? Sorry, Yankee Stadium. Don't mean to fan shame, but we get a plenty. Seem like a number of those people, maybe not all shouting Jackie, but there were some. We have accounts of that and certainly booing. And I know that's tribal. And if this game was in Sox Park and it was a Yankees player, a lot of that would be happening too. And we would be feeling some shame. But in terms of progress, I know we're all fatigued with this having to come up a couple times a year, it seems, not always centered around Tim, but just in baseball. Where are we at with this progress? Do you feel like we are crawling forward and having our eyes and horizons broadened a bit, or are we treading water, or are we moving backward?
I think for me, like when TA let off tonight and in the second game and the boos were raining down, I was like, actually, you know, I guess it should have been expected based on, like you said, Brett, the tribal aspect, but also just Yankee fans, whatever. But it was still kind of just like shocking in a way. But I think, or at least just really disgusting to see. But as far as the progress or any of that, speaking as a white guy, I don't really think that I can say, based on the fact that I can't imagine, I can't imagine being in a situation where all of this discourse over the last couple of days has gone down, and you know, not looking the way I do, and then seeing the boos go down on a player who was a victim of racist comments, a victim of racism. And for that to kind of just happen like that. And then that feeling of that horrifying feeling that must be of just I don't think we're anywhere. So I think to say that there's any progress, it's great that our site and the people in this chat, the people that I think a lot of people that read what we do, probably either have been to that point or learned or whatever the case might be to get to where they are. I think there's just still so much out there where to say that there's been progress is just so extremely relative, that I think it's hard to say that it's been, like much at all in a lot of ways too. So I don't know. I know that wasn't the most articulate answer, but that's kind of just, those are sort of my feelings a little bit around.
Absolutely fair take. Yeah. Other thoughts?
I agree with Sam. I don't think there's really any progress because it's 2022 and they're still shouting racist remarks. I mean, this happened to Jackie Robinson. This happened to Minnie Mignosa. Like it just continues to happen. And on the broadcast, they were saying there were only like 7% of the players within Major League Baseball are Black. And, they're trying to grow this game and give these opportunities. But when you're a Black guy playing baseball and people are yelling Jackie at you and claiming it's an inside joke when only one person is on that side of that inside joke, it clearly is never going to go away. And I think this chat all kind of has to check their privilege anyway, because nobody can speak on behalf of him. Nobody can speak on behalf of racism in this chat because no one here has dealt with it, like on a personal level, but it's never going to change. People are still going to be ignorant because that's just how they were raised. And unless they're breaking that cycle, it's never going to stop. And MLB is never going to truly stop it either.
Yeah. I want to piggyback on what Crystal said. There are Josh Donaldsons on every team and there are booing Yanking fans in every fan base. So it's going to be difficult to get away from it. And again, as a white person, I don't feel like I can comment too much on this, but what I will say is that I am just hoping that there is a substantial punishment that gets handed down from the MLB offices. That's what I'm hoping for. But other than that, I can't really comment.
I think we can say with some confidence there will not be a substantial punishment handed down from the MLB offices. And if so, maybe that would color this question. And that maybe that is one step of progress. And of course, it goes without saying. I don't think it's something we can maybe not address. It's maybe not, maybe this group maybe isn't the most appropriate to be weighing in, but it's something that would probably be more negligent to ignore. And it's just interesting to get a temperature check, given we're a variety of ages and genders here still, a take on where things are at. Certainly there seems to be awareness. There's a substantial number of people in this country, baseball fans or not, who will just ignore learning or trying to do any better. But you hope the fact that this is even an issue, there was a time this wouldn't have even been an issue. Now, I mean, we're talking probably decades ago. So the progress is very, very slow, if at all. But I guess I should probably wind up my weighing in on that, given the fact that I, of course, can't really speak to it with real authority either.
I just had one other, I think just like if you kind of broaden out the scope, I think ultimately it's that in 2022, the fact that people can't understand that if somebody says that something is hurtful, or if somebody says that something is offensive, or if somebody, the fact that that is not enough for people to take seriously in across the board of ways that people can be hurt and people can be victimized by different things. That's kind of the broader sense that I think we can all speak to in different ways broadly. Obviously we saw this specifically in this way this weekend, but I think that's the part of it where it's just, you could scroll through Twitter, you could see on broadcasts, you could see on sports analysts talking about it, whatever. And I think that's the part of it. It's just that if somebody said that we can't societally, it's still so hard for so many people to take people at their word when they say that something is hurtful or racist or whatever the case might be, when that needs to be enough and that is enough. And yet people don't, you know, that's not conveyed. I think that's kind of the part of it that, that we just haven't seen a whole lot of progress in a lot of facets.
Well, let's make no bones about it. The climate of the country over the past handful of years is not helping matters. And yeah, probably you could imagine then, yeah, perhaps there are even steps taken backward, or treading water isn't good enough because we are pushed backward by the tide of the other side. Let's take a break. Let's talk. Let's get back to baseball. Let's get back to things that are a little bit more positive. Right after some words from, some people want to sponsor us. So we'll be back in a minute. White Sox fans, Brett Ballantini here hosting with five of my very best friends from Southside Sox, weighing in on plenty of things in the first half of podcast number 103 on the heels of a sweep in the Bronx. Not something I think any of us would have predicted. There were stars and figures aside from Tim Anderson, who had the 3-run homer late and got to tell the Yankee fans, the fan base, and all those people against him, and that number is substantial, just to shut the hell up. I think he used words that were maybe even a little rougher than that, but he got to do it because he walked the walk, the stick talked, and he got to walk the walk. But there were other heroes this, just today alone. The starting pitching was extraordinary. We're going to have a post-game podcast to talk about a perfect game or no hitter or a complete game one hitter. It didn't quite work out that way for Michael Kopech, but a stellar game. He spun in the nightcap and, of course, in the opener, Johnny Cueto. I'll admit I was a doubter. And even if he ends up with like a 5.5 ERA, he's so much fun to watch. I don't think I'm going to get irritated about it. Let's talk pitching because the bullpen wasn't bad either. Open some eyes today, and I think it's been building.
Crystal, you're going to talk about Michael Kopech?
Yeah, I was about to say, nobody else is going in. So my messy king got his first win. Love this. Love this so much because he's that player that I could write like 20 paragraphs about why he's one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball. Yeah, my boy got his win. They didn't let him down. I was really worried about that, as always, but man, I just love it. I just love to see it.
I've never seen him fill up the zone like that. I think before he kind of, by the end, he was clearly tired. Something that Steve Stone talks about a lot is when you see pitchers start to like sail fastballs, it's because they're getting tired and their, you know, mechanics are starting to come undone on them. Up until that point, there is a point where he had like 56 strikes and like 14 balls or something like that late in the game. When he's around the zone like that, that's what the hitters sound like. I mean, what are you going to do? There's absolutely nothing you can do because that fastball is 98 zooming up at your face, and he's got two breaking balls that he knows how to command. Who knows how often we're going to get this version of Michael Kopech, but like, I don't know. This is what you dream on in like 2017, 2018 when you make the Chris Sale trade, you know, and it's pretty satisfying to see that come to fruition in a big moment like this.
Zach Hayes is playing it off, but that actually was the legit audio from the Yankees clubhouse video room in game during the Kopech game there in the nightcap. That is actually legit audio. They were, in fact, howling. They were howling like little kitty cats. Hope to see you in October, Yankees. Other feelings, maybe just even more broadly about this this doubleheader sweep, or maybe where the White Sox could be pointed from here.
I was just happy that, you know, their pitching this season has largely been really solid to good, you know, to great in some cases. And, you know, even in this the great second game that we just watched, that was shaping up. I tweeted this. I said this is shaping up to be one of the worst losses of the season because it seemed like, you know, Kopech was brilliant and they had, you know, back-to-back-to-back innings where they're getting runners in scoring position with like the top of their lineup up and coming up empty. And it was just like, this has been really the theme of the season. Cause they're still not, I mean, you know, they had some offense today, but really they're not scoring. They're not hitting with runners in scoring position. So I think that just seeing a couple of wins where the pitching was very good, where we've seen plenty of games where the pitching was certainly good enough to, you know, win games and the offense hasn't come through. I think that's just a great sign, especially against a team like the Yankees, who, you know, you shut down a very powerful offense.
How about Raylo today? Raylo looked amazing. I said this on Twitter too, but my favorite part of that ninth inning was when Raylo faced Stanton, who has the prettiest swing I've ever seen in my life, and he made him look stupid, just waving at sliders. So I was happy to see that. I hope Raylo's back too.
Triple digits Lopez.
And then not to forget, Joe Kelly did great today. I've been on the fence about him, but he completely dominated that inning. And then to pick somebody off at second too, and then just walk out like this, man, I love it. I love him.
And it's been such a cold, extended winter here. I can't imagine. It's like 88, 90, 95 in New York this weekend. Those arms were feeling good and live. I know already. It was fun to watch everyone popping triple digits like that.
Yeah, now the offense tonight, nightcap, I don't know, 13 hits, a bunch of hits. Is it important, even though the team still isn't terribly good, let's say, in those pressure spots, bases loaded is like they've had one hit in 100 at-bats, whatever it is. But at some point, when the offense has been as poor as it's been basically since maybe the first week of the season, it's just starting to hit has got to be encouraging. You got to figure some of that clutch stuff is going to come because you're starting to put pressure on defenses and pitching staffs. You know, you just start to bunch hits and some of that clutch stuff is going to come. This is a good sign for the offense against, you know, by the way, not a bad pitching staff in New York. This has got to be a game you put a pin in for reasons more than just, oh, hey, you know, doubleheader sweep, but just like, hey, wait, maybe the cold storage of the offense is starting to crack.
For sure. It was, yeah, very, very impressive today. I mean, yeah, in going into the Bronx like that against a very hot team, I mean, it was really an all-around performance from the pitching staff. I mean, with one run in two games, that doesn't happen often. And to see kind of the all-around performance like that, I do think that it could be the start of a nice run for them. And yeah, when they start having like their more like questionable relievers, like, you know, I wasn't a big fan of the Joe Kelly signing. I seemed like a strange allocation of resources and team payroll. But I mean, if he's starting to really come together and really sort of complement that bullpen with, you know, some of the, you know, more noteworthy arms, you know, ones with the sky high expectations, it could be a very dangerous bullpen. And, you know, we certainly saw that today. And obviously, yeah, not much to add in terms of the starting pitching. Like, obviously, Cueto and Kopech, I mean, that's, you know, you can't ask for anything more than what they did today. I mean, it really was special in the doubleheader.
And who's to say what he does in the last, whatever, half of the season, whatever it's going to be, 2/3 of the season. But hey, listen, we got Lance Lynn at home. Is Lance Lynn just sitting around eating nachos, just hanging? He's starting to throw. You know, he's maybe not going to hit quite, you know, the end of the month thing, or maybe he will. You know, he's going to be back. That's not a bad arm, Cy Young candidate. Not a bad arm to add to your rotation. There's your trade deadline acquisition, Rick Conn, you dirty, dirty man. Hey, listen, I don't want to bring the vibes down here at all by mentioning Tony La Russa, but I think it's notable to say, as I think maybe we're unified against him, continuing to be the manager of the Chicago White Sox, unified against the sort of nepotism that got him back here in the first place. But we've been told a lot about the fact that he's admired and he and Tim Anderson have this great bond and everybody loves him and all that stuff. I'm not sure we've seen a lot. We've seen things like him hanging Yermy Mercedes out to dry and scolding him as he's finishing his home run trot about a year ago. Sorry, Tony, Freudian slip. But listen, this is the first time maybe we've seen and not just had to hear and trust that Tony La Russa maybe has really ingratiated himself with this team. And he is part of this team culture. These are ugly words to come spilling from my lips, but it has to still be heartening that he really, in a sense, was the guy who sort of kicked off standing up post game for Tim Anderson. Accounts for something.
Like, I think yes, But I also think that we need to be careful a little bit about like the bars that we set, as far as like, you know, at the end of the day, like he called a racist comment racist, you know, so
fair.
Good, you know, because what's the alternative? That he doesn't comment on it at all, downplays it, whatever the case may have been. And then, of course, we're having a different conversation. So, yeah, I guess based on the unbelievably low bar of expectations that we have for the Hall of Fame manager, it was good that he called out something that was accurately said, in terms of what he said that it was. But, you know, that's good. But he's still so horrible as a manager. So I think that's
fair. That's
just not to bring it down. But
I am not going to defend Tony La Russa in a public forum, Jack.
I'm just going to say a broken clock, still right twice a day. Come on. We know what Tony really is. It's good for him for sticking up for his player, but still sucks. You can be both.
Yeah, the bar is in the basement. I think it's worth extending that beyond Tony, though, to other players like Yasmani Grandal and Liam Hendricks, who have spoken out very forcefully about the whole situation. And yeah, it's like, it's really not a lot to give credit for, but like, do you guys remember when all the reporters were asking them questions about sticky stuff? Like, these people do not know how to answer tough questions. They stutter and stumble and are really, really bad at these things, Jed, which is why these problems continue to crop up in many ways. And the, I don't know, the trolls and the people on the other side, so to speak, thrive on ambiguity and the idea that it could have turned into a he said, like, oh, well, we don't know what they're saying on the field. They were all a little bit chippy. I don't know. So I thought it was actually really surprising, because the bar is so low, that there was kind of instantly this, no, that was racist and this is a problem. Mm-hmm. There's no like, oh, I, you know, we didn't hear anything, I would have to wait and see. There was, given what usually happens with these things in baseball, it's, I don't know. It makes me feel a little better about the clubhouse. I can say that much, in spite of Tony's presence otherwise.
I am very uncomfortable in this position, but again, if Tony doesn't bring it up top, because they're talking to Tony first, they're not going in to talk to players first, if he's not bringing it up the way he did, and again, listen, bar is low, of course, maybe those questions aren't asked, or maybe, you know, maybe Grandal doesn't have the opportunity or feel as confident in vocalizing what he did. Clearly he did it on the field, but he could have said, hey, listen, I'm leaving it on the field. And, you know, we know, Zach, you just mentioned, you know, Aaron Boone at the time said, he said exactly what you referred to, which is, oh yeah, there's just a lot of jabbering going on. Not that you expect the manager to necessarily, you know, knock down his own player, but he didn't have to say that either. This could easily have just been like, okay, nothing to see here. And we'd still be scratching our heads about it. And maybe it comes out a few days later. It's good that right off the bat, you know, this blew up, and maybe it even helped propel the team to stick together the way they did to make this sweep and really punch a team that's the best in the American League, you know, right in the mouth. I guess other thoughts about Tony, or just how this played out this weekend?
I think that in spite of it being a really good day and a nice road trip there overall, you know, I just have still issues with some lineup construction things. But more than that, I mean, we're seeing Leary Garcia, you know, playing every day. We're seeing Gavin Sheets starting in both games right today, if I'm not mistaken. I think he played in both. There's just things on, like, again, I this was a good day for the White Sox. It just was. It was really good to great day for the White Sox. But like, long term, I Brett, when you mentioned the midseason acquisition being Lance Lynn, I mean, like, that's the kind of stuff that's very sobering about this team, is that, you know, are they going to make the additions that are necessary? Because we know that this is not a perfect team by any means. It's a good team, but there's things that need to happen. And I hope that they do, because over the entirety of the season, I don't know. I'm rooting for it. You know, I'm rooting for them to do what they need to do, but I guess we'll just see.
White Sox 2022. It was a good day, but okay. Other thoughts as we wind this podcast up?
I'd say, despite him being so streaky, good for AJ Pollock today. And then there are people like Adam Engel that just don't get enough love and respect for what they really do. I mean, Adam Engel is so fast. He gets batters in. He's great. And then my obvious gripe of Andrew Vaughn should be playing consistently because he's too good to just waste on a bench. But I mean, it was a good day for hitters. They were really impressive today. So
let's give Engel some love here. Prepping for the last podcast that I think we didn't have. I don't know. Actually, this probably is podcast 102. We never had 102. So whatever. The White Sox had six players. Now, it may have changed over the weekend. Six players who would actually project, very small sample size. Let's not do projections, whatever. But let's project anyway. Six players to be better than starters, just war-wise. And Engel's one of them. He was projecting at that time to a 4 WAR. And this is a guy who's just being shuffled around, has no role, you know, is gets memed with the horse's butt or whatever that is that Allie sends out every time he plays. But
he's got a dump truck. Leave him alone.
He's mad. He's had quite a season. Other wind up thoughts as we are saying goodbye to podcast, whatever it is.
Yes, I do think it is more likely that when Tony La Russa makes questionable lineup decisions, like Leury Garcia batting second and being okay with playing him in two games of a doubleheader, but not Tim Anderson, it's more likely that he is making mistakes as opposed to playing 3D chess. You know, it's probably not something that a Hall of Fame or baseball person, only they could see like the genius chess move. But yeah, overall, with this weekend, like more good than harm was done by him. As was pointed out earlier, like it was a low bar. And I'm glad he did the right thing in calling the Donaldson comment what it was. And you know, it wasn't obviously. I wasn't really expecting him to do that. Like I couldn't really trust him after the whole Yermin mess last year, where he didn't stand up for his player. But yeah, overall, yeah, the tactical decisions are, they still remain a little bit concerning for me, but yeah, still, I would say it is a good weekend for La Russa overall.
I was going to say it was a good day for the White Sox, so I don't want to come down too harshly, but we're still 4 games back in the AL Central, so we still have work to do.
Yes, no parades called yet. Zach, you want to bring this home with any final thought, any final inspiration?
Yeah, you know what? The vibes are going up from here. Like, we're playing with house money at this point. The thing is, all of the things that I spent all offseason on these podcasts bitching about, like, manifested. This start is exactly what, like, my worst fear for the season was. I came to the conclusion, like, you know, about 6 weeks ago, I was like, oh, as constructed, this team is not going to win the World Series. Like, that's just, we have seen this before. So I am... You know what? I'm going to say it. I'm enjoying the ride. You know what? Like I said, it's house money. I'm taking the expectations down a notch, and I don't know, just trying to stem my frustration and really, even if 88, 90 wins isn't what we wanted from here, I think it's good to readjust expectations of what this season should be and, you know, try to get the most out of it because seems like, I don't know, Jerry and Rick and Kenny don't seem very inclined to budge. So,
It is house money, Zach. It's like what Crystal was saying, like how the pressure's off when the, when, you know, the perfect game gets, you know, blown or the no-hitter gets blown. It's like, okay, well now I can just sort of relax and enjoy. You know, this isn't where we wanted to be. I'd rather be where the Yankees are right now, but you know, given what it is and given that the front office doesn't seem to care, all right, let's just sit back. Hey, maybe something crazy happens. Maybe they squeak in the playoffs and then they make their run. You know, Tony La Russa has that 83-81 World Series champion on his resume, and I got him in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, who's to say? Who's to say? Who knows what'll happen? We've made our trade deadline acquisitions already. So, cool. All right, well, we're under a minute. So before this cuts off and before I'm embarrassed even further, I will stand up once more for those watching. It is a stick talk evening. Way to go, Tim, responding to the adversity of Saturday. We all do feel for you, Tim. Sorry, this keeps happening. Podcast, whatever it is, we're winding it up. We'll have another one soon. We got days off. So this week, you know, who knows, maybe an active podcast time. We'll figure out what number it is. And we'll roll out another one to you sooner than you're probably even ready. But thanks, Zach, Thanks, Joe and Crystal from Indianapolis. Thank you, Sam Sherman, for showing up again. Please continue. And good vibes, Jackie Crestel, back to work. Finish that recap. Hey, listen, thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for being with us.